Welcome to the Minister's Friend podcast with pastor and author Dr. John Kimball. The Minister's Friend is a podcast helping pastors and other church workers navigate the challenges of leading the flock. John has been a church planter, a local church pastor, a seminary professor, and a denominational leader. He coaches and mentors pastors and missionaries around the world. Drawing on over 30 years of experience in local, regional, and national ministry, John and some of his colleagues provide practical guidance on the topics you request. We are so glad you've joined us. And now, here's our host, Pastor John.
Thanks, Anna. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Minister's Friend podcast. Now, I know there are regular listeners to the podcast who may be a little apprehensive about our current series on spiritual warfare. In a way, this particular topic may be most important for you. There are whole swaths of the church, particularly in North America, that just dismiss things like spiritual warfare out of hand. But they do so to their own peril. Spiritual warfare is real, and Jesus has equipped his church to be victorious over it. We can have victory over strongholds that manipulate precious souls with alcoholism, drug addiction, and so much more. We can overcome the demonic. We can use biblical authority to teach people about the real dangers of dabbling in evil. Horoscopes, the occult, Ouija boards, and the like. These things are not harmless, as so many people suppose. In today's episode of the podcast, Pastor Foy Bellier, Bishop Jason Quinones, and Pastor Michael Brinkley join me in talking about our own personal experiences with spiritual warfare. We hope the lessons that we've learned will provide you with a better understanding of our topic, yes, but also with the hope that we have as Christians that Jesus has already given us everything we need for the victory. So the first question I just want to throw out to the panel, I told a little bit of my story. When did each of you really become aware that spiritual warfare was not just part of the storybook? It was real. Have you got some stories, some testimonies about what happened in ministry where you learned those things?
Well, I think it has to go back further, perhaps, when we first became aware of the reality of darkness and evil. And for me, looking back over my childhood, John, kind of two major strands emerge. First, when there were spiritual breakthroughs, like when I committed my life to Christ as a child and when I began to be involved in the youth group in significant ways, there was always seemingly a darkness that would kind of coalesce that would seem to mitigate and fight against those things, whether those were nightmares or anxiety or physical manifestations. Mm-hmm. So looking back, I can trace that back even to being a very young child. And I want to be careful about what I say next, but it's the reality of my own story. In my family of origin, in my extended family of origin, there were occult practices.
Wow.
There were connections with the demonic, and they were disguised in any number of ways. And I knew as a kid, because of intersecting people who were practitioners or who were enthralled to those agents of evil, that this stuff was real. And to be honest, my evangelical church that I came up in didn't have a grid for it. And didn't talk about it, and I felt yucky and weird without any kind of an outlet to deal with that. So that's my story. And of course, and I'm sure my brothers will tap into it, there have been numerous manifestations of evil over time that we've had to encounter and press through, including a manifestation in one of our worship services that wow. Perhaps if we have time, that will make some people uncomfortable if we get a chance to talk about it. But when the gospel of the kingdom goes forward, the last tool in the toolbox for evil is to show itself. Mm-hmm. But on occasion that happens.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I would say, and that's, I mean, I just met Foy today, so you know, hearing his his background, last night I was reminded that my grandmother on my dad's side was a medium.
Wow.
And I recall one time, well, first my mother was together with a man who was, and this is nothing against Cubans, he just happened to be Cuban, and they were very much into Santeria. And I remember he had these beads that were, you know, in his drawer that they always told me, don't ever touch those, you know, because they were for his protection and, you know, whatever. And then I remember when my mother and my father reconciled and she separated from this man, my aunt, who was into, you know, Santeria as well, my grandmother's daughter, she came to the house and they did this whole cleansing with flowers and all this kind of stuff. And so I didn't, you know, I'm a kid. I'm 13 years old, 14 years old. I don't know really what's going on. And so when I hear, you know, Foy say that, I'm like, wow, this is, you know, these attacks have been coming. But probably for me, you know, and then I was actually born again into an Assemblies of God church that they were definitely into, you know, the understanding of spiritual warfare, breaking of strongholds, stuff like that. I remember the two things, and I'll make these as brief as possible. The two things that where it became really real for me was, number one, I was preaching in a youth service as a youth pastor. And after the preaching, I did an altar call. And so when I did this altar call, all these kids are up in the front, and I went to pray for this one guy. And when I laid my hands on him, he fell back. Now, he fell to the floor, but he started like slithering. It looked like a snake to me. And I was like, pick him up, please. So they pick him up. And I'm like, and I began to pray over this young man and just pray for this stronghold, you know, because I knew, I mean, it was just such a weird, it wasn't, you know, it was just such a weird thing. And he didn't fall again, you know, and he, you know, he looked like he experienced some level of freedom. And I didn't go back and check, but, you know, I made him, you know, I not made him, but I asked him to, you know, make some confessions with me there in that moment. And so that was the first time. The second time, it was actually about a year or two into us as a church plant. And I was in a youth service in our church. And in the youth service, the guy who was the youth pastor, he was a friend of mine from when I was in youth ministry. And he was just helping us start this youth ministry. And he was doing an illustration with a chain. And my sister happened to be the one that was wrapped in the chain. And he was doing an illustration of how Christ wants to set us free and started pulling on the chain. And so as he was doing this illustration, I could sense this freedom in the atmosphere. And this, you know, I would express it as the presence of the Lord. And there was a young man who walked out of the sanctuary right at that moment. And when he walked out of the sanctuary, he went outside. Now, I didn't go outside. I was still inside. But the youth pastor's wife followed him. Now, these are her words, not mine. I'm going to tell you what I saw and what I experienced. But her words were, when she went outside, this guy looked like he was being thrown against the walls. So she went over there. She brought him into the church. And she told me and the young man who would become our youth pastor. So we took him into one of the rooms so we could pray for him. As soon as we went to pray for this guy, it was like he shot from the door to the middle of the room. And then there was 30 minutes of just prayer and intercession. And, you know, every time that he would like come into this consciousness, as we would, you know, try to get him to pray, he just couldn't, you know, he would just, it was this weird thing that was happening to him. And then finally, you know, as we prayed, there was a moment where we were just trying to get him to pray in the name of Jesus. And he finally did that. And it was like this peace just came into that room and life entered this guy from a place where he was unconscious. And, you know, it was a really powerful, you know, manifestation. But what I found out later was that this young man was deeply involved in the occult. And he had just given his life to Christ like that week. And that day, he had taken off all of this jewelry that was all connected with these occultic practices.
Wow.
And so that was, you know, when it really became real. So there's that.
Wow. Wow.
For me, I was at in Virginia at the church, and I was teaching a Bible study. I believe it was Master Life, and we were talking about spiritual warfare.
Yeah.
And I had received just 2 or 3 months before a call that we were going to go to Japan. Mm-hmm. And it was in that October of 2000 that my head-on car collision happened.
Yep, I remember that.
I remember being blind in the car. And, you know, all I heard at that moment when I got hit head-on by someone going 70 miles per hour was, you will go to Japan. Mm. And I just felt like Paul, who, you know, there were so many things happening to him to keep him from going to Rome. And he had received a word earlier that about this thorn in his flesh, and said that it was a messenger of Satan that was harassing him, who was a thorn in the flesh. And when you look at that word in the Old Testament, the thorn in the flesh, thorn in the side, or a thorn in the eye, was always a reference to someone harassing God's people in God's will. And I knew that, you know, did I see a manifestation of evil? Not at all. But we have to understand that there's a spiritual world that's going on, and the roots of some of the problems we have in our life is spiritual. And we have to realize that our fight is not against flesh and blood, it's spiritual forces. Mm-hmm. And the devil doesn't necessarily want to be revealed. He wants to stay in the shadows. So if our theology is that he's not involved in our daily lives, we stay clueless to it. And so, you know, trying to murder me before I even made it to Japan is just to show you that that's just one of the steps people take when they try to step into God's will. And God's got a great destiny for you. You get a target put on you.
Yeah, I will never forget that wreck. I'll never forget that. And you and Denise had only been married just a few months when that took place. And I thought, oh my gosh, she's going to be a widow. Because literally, we didn't think you were going to make it. That was very scary for some time there. And amazing what God brought out of it. Even the testimony of the healings that took place over the next several months. You know, for me, while we were still in Minnesota, before we moved down here to Florida, the Orlando area, one of the things that we had been told as we did our research about the area, both social research and spiritual research, and just trying to find out the environment we were moving into and what God would call us to, we were told by several different sources that the two biggest issues in greater Orlando, and it was predominant among people who were moving to this area from other places in the second half of life, that this is where they were going to, you know, enjoy the rest of their days, their golden years, and that kind of stuff. But number one was loneliness, because they thought they were coming to a party, and it's really hard to break into social circles here that already exist. And the second thing was a combination of depression and anxiety. And that they are prolific, you know, that counseling and depression and those kinds of things in this area, it's supposed to be the happiest place on earth, so to speak, and yet depression is worse here than it is in many other places around the country. And we knew that coming in, and, you know, we were here 1 week, and I was attacked with my first kidney stone ever, my first and last kidney stone ever. I haven't had another one. There's no family history of any of that stuff. It was too big to pass. I had to have two successive surgeries because the first one, they couldn't get into the kidney. It was so inflamed. So I had a second surgery. So within 6 weeks, I had two significant kidney surgeries where I had to be intubated. I mean, it was really big stuff. And coming out of that, the physical trauma on my body, the emotional toll of those surgeries, the darkness that came in was so overwhelming, so incredible, and the depression, just I've never experienced anything like that. And then the anxiety where I could not think, I couldn't piece a sentence together in my brain. I couldn't even cope with normal, you know, getting out of bed and saying, what, do I brush my teeth first? Do I go to the bathroom first? You know, those first few days, it was like I just fell apart trying to make a decision as to what I was going to do the minute my feet hit the ground. It was just incredible. And as I talked with my mentor, really cried on the shoulder of my mentor, he said two things to me. The first thing he said was, the things that you are feeling are real. You're really feeling them, but they're not true. That is not Jesus' truth. That is the enemy doing that to you. And you need to separate those out and understand. It's very real. I'm not saying it's not real. I'm not saying you're not depressed. I'm not saying it's not dark. You're experiencing things that are real. But it's not the truth from heaven. The second thing he said to me is, I want you to stop and realize that you came in here as a light of the gospel to speak to people that you already knew their number one issue was going to be depression and anxiety. And what is it that the enemy has thrown at you? Depression and anxiety. He's using the tool you already knew was prominent in this place to try and take you out. And it was like the light bulb went on. Now, I had months yet of wrestling with this. I had to go on medication. You know, I had all those things were true. And I'm not against medication. I'm not against counseling. I know the value of that personally. It was a little miracle for me when all of a sudden my brain chemistry evened out. But I've got to tell you something. This stuff, this spiritual warfare stuff is real. And it does take people out. And only by the grace of God did I even survive. That was enough. That experience, those first 2 months, literally, Michael can tell you, he was here with boots on the ground with me during that time. Would not have just taken me out of the church plant. It really, honestly threatened to take me completely out of the ministry altogether. And there are people, I'm convinced, there are people listening to this episode, to this series of podcasts right now that are there. And guys, I think we need to speak to them and let them know. You know, it's you start talking about the demonic realm, and there are people that go, I'm really uncomfortable with that whole discussion. Okay, it's an uncomfortable discussion, but Jesus talked about it, so we need to talk about it. There's people who are on the other side of that, experiencing that darkness, experiencing that anxiety, and they're grasping at straws saying, somebody help me. We need to speak to that and let them know the hope that really is there, that they can, with a fire team of brothers and sisters around them and the tactical tool of intercessory prayer, we can break that stuff. But that's what this is about. That's why I wanted to go into this scary, some people will think very weird subject matter and address this, because I am talking regularly with pastors and other church leaders who are experiencing the other side of this, and they need help. They need answers. And immediately I think of you brothers, because I know all of us have been through this stuff. And so that's why I want to do this podcast. Next time, the members of our panel help build a working definition of spiritual warfare. Our hope is that this will increase your discernment on the tactics of the enemy of our souls. That's coming up next time on The Minister's Friend. We are so grateful that you're in our audience. The Minister's Friend podcast exists to help pastors and other church leaders just like you lead their congregations well. If you're blessed by our ministry, would you please do me a couple of favors? First of all, would you forward the podcast to your friends? Your personal recommendation to other people is the best advertising we could ever ask for. Second, would you take a moment and give us a 5-star review if you think it's worth it? This is especially helpful on the Apple platform. Good reviews actually move us up the charts and enable us to reach more people with our ministry. Thank you so much. I'm so glad you were with us for today's episode. I hope it was helpful to you. Thank you for joining us here on the Minister's Friend podcast. Let's do this again real soon.
You've been listening to the Minister's Friend podcast with pastor and author John Kimball. Be sure to check out today's show notes for additional tools, resources, and information. If today's episode has been helpful to you, let us know. You can shoot us an email at podcast@johnrkimball.com. That's podcast@johnrkimball.com. You can also leave a note on our Facebook page. These are also the best ways to suggest topics for future shows. We want to hear from you. And please tell your friends about us. Until next time, may God bless you and your ministry with great fruit for His kingdom. Bye!